Welcome, welcome to the DL debate. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now, live on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. This is your weekly radio show and roundup of all matters GAA and, of course, the main matters. This weekend is the amazing story of Armagh All-Ireland champions. Who would have thought it? Any time this year, up and they maybe just pre-throwing that it was a possibility because a team was written off. Such a story. You know, talk about coming out of an adversity. And we're going to speak shortly live to Armagh, to Aaron Kiernan, who I'd say is in good spirits. My good buddy Aaron Kiernan's going to give us the lowdown on the buzz on the Orchard County. Then we're going to zoom across to Galway, to Galway's homecoming. We're going to speak with former All-Ireland winner and also a top pundit, Sean Oge de Puir. He's going to let us know the story in Galway as the fallout of this final defeat, a second final defeat in 2 years. Heartbreak for the Galway men, but joy for the Orchard men. What a story. And after that, we will be wrapping up the season that was 2024 in the presence of Michael McMullen, and we'll get a bit in depth on that match and of course have Michael's views on it. He's the man to analytically break it down for us, surely. First off, a couple of messages I have to give out. Eddie Joe out in Gola, the wee man in the coffee shop, I'm sure you all know him well. I was out with him at the weekend there, listens in every week to the show. I thought I'd say hello to him. Of course, there's the Hoochie Mamas down there, Dara, Rosie, Marie, Maeve, Tressa and Pauline. Listen, girls, I hope you're doing well. And the Golden Girls, of course, backing them up. Up Gador, Gador for the championship. Listen, we'll be doing a club championship roundup next week, of course, as we look ahead to the club championships. Just from the weekend, Termin Ladies, Division 1 champions, as ever, more silverware for the Termin Ladies. And they beat Arua 5-13-2-4. Great few weeks for the club after their men's performances last week as well. Well done to them. Of course, the championships coming up for them. Opener against Glenfinn should be feisty. We're going to then look across, along with next week's club championship, we're going to look at the hurling as well. The big weekends of the game, big games of the weekend, Satanta beating Burt 2-22-3-11. Burt are coming back. There's still a way to go, I think. The Satanta team, of course, Ulster champions, not only county champions, but Ulster champions, St Unions. Beating McCool's and St Unions play Burt next week in a crunch game, a must-win game for both teams. We'll do a hurling roundup next week for you. I'm just looking at Joe. Did we get Aaron Kiernan? No sign of Aaron yet. We're going to try and get Aaron on the line here, folks, just to get the breakdown of this All-Ireland. There we are. That could be Aaron ringing now. try that there, Joe. That's live radio for you. You know what the session's on? There could be a baller getting an odd man, but Aaron's about to come on for us now to break down what was an absolutely fascinating final. I text actually Sean Oge de Puir this morning, said that was your first Ulster All-Ireland final experience because the game was just like what we'd see in Ulster, and we all had a fair idea that's what would happen because the way Galway set up and what was at stake. And from years of looking at 20-point margins, we were thinking it would close up a lot more than that, and it certainly did. You know, six each at half-time. The game was very much about systems and set and play. Galway were trying to leave a few up and trying to break down the rigid Armagh defence. Listen, if you're in the defensive setups, they were very good at what they were doing. And the goal, I think, the more than the goal that Galway got in the semi-final against ourselves, was the platform to go on and win the match. Was it a pass? Was it not? The debate is raging. One man that might tell us, was it a pass or was it not? We have tracked down the one and only Aaron Kiernan. Aaron, welcome to DL Debate.
100% Brendan, that was a pass. That was a pass. I know Soupy long enough.
You could see that.
Go on ahead.
Aaron, I couldn't believe it was even the debate. I've heard people completely rubbish. People on about he went for a point. He's seen the run. He's seen the late break. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind from the get-go. And from the commentators, as I say, you were sitting in there with your family, a great picture of you with a family after the match, the elation. I couldn't believe it was even a question mark. For me, 100%, he's seen the run. It was just the way he kind of disguised it. It was like one of those you'd see in the soccer, that the eyes one way, but he was definitely putting that ball across for the palm.
Well, 100%, he said himself he didn't realise his arm was here. He thought it was Ray O'Neill, but no, you can see like that's a left-handed fifth pass, which in itself is unbelievable. But no, he knew what he was doing. He was putting that across the square. He couldn't. He was trying. I was actually in the far corner flag. I was in the Davin where Davin meets Hogan. And he was trying to get on his right foot to tap it over the bar. And he knew he couldn't. So he took it another step. And then just out of the corner of the day, he seen... And it was Aaron McKay coming through. But no, that's a...
McKay, that's no, a not fast McKay. Across. Not he, McKay. Not McKay, as Willie calls him.
Let's not get Willie in a bit of trouble here. But he knew what he was doing. He was putting across. And worst case scenario, we're talking this often enough. If he had lost it, they had a good possession. They still had to work the ball to hurry up field pass, 14 people or whatever it was. So it was the turning point. We were talking last week. Could anybody get a goal? And other than that, you're talking the two semi-finals. We get a goal from a defender. Galway get a goal from Paul Conroy, just basically putting the ball in from the middle of the field. So no inside forward scored goals in the semi-final or final, which probably is a reflection where football is. But in terms of the broader scheme, general truth is we really don't care at the minute. the crack is unbelievable here. We'll deal with that another day.
Aaron, everything can be bypassed. I think when you won Sam Maguire, really, I know we're getting into the nitty gritty or the nuts and bolts or the turning points in the game, but really, when all said and done, Aaron, I suppose that the heartbreak of the story, you know, Kieran McGeaney, the 10 years, the knockbacks to the county, Aaron, and like I said to you, you know, I had a good chat to Kieran after the Derry game, you know, and when myself and yourself and Willie talked there on the smaller fish, I had said to him, you know, anything's possible with this team. Now, Aaron, I wasn't saying necessarily one, but I was saying there's nobody Armagh should fear because they had the ingredients of all other top teams. They just hadn't got, I don't think, the respect because of those games and penalties that went against them. I mean, a stat of 2.5 years not beaten 70 minutes says a hell of a lot for a team that actually has more resilience than they were getting credit for. They were getting an awful scalding from losing games and penalties.
Yeah, but hand on heart, I'm a bit of you. You're trying to give an insight, but be genuine, be fair, whatever. So, like, the running team's really close. Like, they're so hard to put away. They're brave. There's tweaks at times that, yes, we think they could make, which would make give them the opportunity to maybe win games that maybe they've lost. But resilience and fighting back is something that you can't question with that team. And then, like, that, as always I said, it's the man at the top, he sets the standards, and you know your team should be a reflection of him. So it's no surprise in terms of, you know, how they behave and how they keep coming back time after time, given that he's the man that's leading the charge. But the reality is, I felt we had a great chance. That's why I was so nervous all week, was because I knew this happens every 20 odd years for us, and that's the reality, right? Okay, that's a fact. But I felt that it was an opportunity that was unbelievable for us, one that we could win, but you're equally as nervous because you're thinking, if we don't win this, how long is it going to be till we do get there again? And that was a bit that sort of unnerved you. But to be fair to the boys, whenever they get a sniff at any stage, and it was that goal, yes, the goal was the absolute turning point. It was tit for tat. You know, it was... You were sitting in the edge of your seat. You knew this game's going to go with an extra time. But the way just that score and then a couple of points after it, even though Galway clawed us back a bit, we were just able to stay that one step ahead of them the whole time. And I had to be fair now, last night, today, it's been unbelievable crack. Like you're sitting where I was in the Carrickhill there today, took the kids over. It's amazing. You know yourself. You know what it was like whenever you did it in 99 or 92, sorry, whenever you did it yourself in 2012. It's special. It's absolutely special. It's what makes the GA unique. It was just the buzz, everything is unbelievable.
Yeah. And Aaron, is there something about that in terms of, I suppose, the adversity that, you know, the respect now that people were questioning, is that just making the whole thing so much larger? Because you know, the Ulster was the game, right? That was the aim. Forget about anything else. Let's try and win Ulster. That wasn't happening. To regroup and come back with all the question marks now. Listen, Armagh, obviously football mad. We talk about your supporters and the colour and the noise that they brought to it. I mean, the game was so frantic at the end, the way it finished. I mean, I was thinking to myself, when you went 3-up, I says, there's no way McGeaney's just going to be able to enjoy the last few minutes of this final. And again, Aaron, I mean, people say about you kind of sat back, but of course, there's so much at stake. You can understand. Now, people say, well, did you not learn maybe from the likes of the Ulster final? But listen, naturally enough, you're going to say, let's sit and try and hit in the counter, which almost proved your undoing.
To be fair, like, they hit 2 points within 60 seconds. I was sitting going, Jesus, we're all in, champions, next thing. There's a point in, you're going, oh my God, this is going X name, penalties, or not penalties, replay, or whatever it is. So it was cruel. It was cruel at that stage. But I suppose the big thing is, you're talking about closing out games and all that there, and criticism. So, but that is fair enough. Like I said, I'm like you. You're sitting here trying to analyse, trying to be as impartial as you possibly can be. But whenever you're not winning, you're not getting across the lane, was I honestly thinking that how can you win an All-Ireland having never won anything? And I mean anything. Like, Donegal beat us in Division 2 league final. I'm talking to a few down people this year and they're saying to me, also, you beat us in the Division 2 league final, and in 2010 it was. They got to the All-Ireland final, they lost. They'd been in a few All-Ireland finals. They were trying to compare themselves to us. So that is the reality of it. Like, I don't know how you go and win Sam McGuire having never won anything, but them boys did. So the resilience that they showed, like, that was the final. I met you down the street, yourself and Trasa, and the kids. Like, I was just totally deflated. I didn't want to talk football anymore. I couldn't believe what was that happening again. So I don't know how they felt. I don't know how they picked this up again. But they did. And you're talking, like, and you said this past week, that conversation with McGeaney and that. So you have to give him credit. As, like, how could you have picked yourself back up after losing another penalty shooting again? Because it's humiliating. It's demoralising. It's all of those words. Like, but they did. And then they topped the group. They, like, even they just drew with Galway with Super Campbell's fist at the last second of the game. But they did it. Where we were saying 3 weeks prior to that, there's no way they can pick this up. There's no way they can find resilience to come back again. But they did. And they're all in a champion. And this county is absolutely hopping. And I'd say it probably will be for another few weeks.
And Aaron, listen, Aaron, do you mind? Sean O'Dubuier has joined us here. I wasn't too sure what time he's going to get on. Do you want to? Can you stay on the line a wee while there, Aaron?
Yeah, no,
not,
at all.
I'm not going to the bar yet because my buddy here, Sean.
Well, I'm standing at the front of the bar and Benny's here. He's in the bar, so I'm not sure whether you can hear him or not. He's close. He's in close proximity.
Jeez, if you put him on, we're in trouble. There, stay there on the sec. I just want to hear from Sean. Oh, Sean, you were down for the homecoming today. Was it June? What was the story, Sean? What's the feeling? You know, people are talking about the toughness of Armagh defeats, but, you know, losing two finals now in close succession, Sean, that carries its own serious bit of hurt.
It does, yeah. There was two parts of the homecoming today. The first part was in Tuam, which is, I suppose, recognised, if you like, as the home of Galway football. It's only about 5 or 6 miles from Pádraig's home club. Killarearn. So myself, wife, kids went down there this evening, and, you know, there was a band playing and, you know, there was a stage erected. It's not that anything was taken for granted, it's just that you have to do these things in advance. And the team came, and now I was well back from the stage, but you could even sense in the body language, you know, they're just completely, absolutely deflated. Pádraig said a few words. He said, look, I know, you know, he said the usual stuff. He thanked the crowd for supporting Galway throughout the year and, you know, the kids that were there, that this might prove, even though we lost, you know, it might prove some type of or inspiration to them. Like, but he said one thing that kind of struck me, like, you know, I'm a supporter. I'm very, you know, I'm obviously very disappointed after yesterday because, you know, I just heard Aaron there. I was exactly like him during the week. You know, I think, you know, because obviously Dublin or Kerry weren't involved yesterday, that this was a real, real chance to, you know, to win in All-Ireland. And I suppose that magnifies is for us because we've lost. Like, but Pádraig said, he said, look at guys, I know you're disappointed, but multiply that by 100, he said. That's how we're feeling. So, you know, I wasn't at the well, banquet, if you like, last night. They had a bit of a shindig in the Radisson in Dublin city centre, but you know, I think it was fairly flat. Like, I mean, I've gone through this myself, and it's a horrible, horrible feeling. We lost a replay against Kerry on a Saturday, and I think the following Thursday, my mother had to come in to the house that I was living in Galway City, and she told me to open the windows and open the curtains, and it was time now to
come back to the world.
Yeah, to go out and face the world. I know what they're going through. Yeah. It's horrible. Yeah. You know, so that's, but look at, they've no choice but to bounce back.
I think that's the way to do it, lad. I know it takes a while for that to settle in and they'll be haunted. I'm interested to get your views on a couple of incidents in the game, Sean. I just want to let my friend here up in Armagh go, because I can hear in his voice, you're up late last night, Aaron.
Well, it was bright whenever I was going to bed, to be that for sure. But no, in fairness, we chat fairly regularly, as you know, and I love Joyce. I love Joyce. I love the team. Yeah. I grew up. I wore the tape out of a year till Sunday in terms of Sean Ogundo's play. So you do feel it from, and that's what yesterday was about. It was, you knew it was such a massive occasion for both counties. And I had a friend home from England, and he just said it's the best sporting event he was ever at in terms of the camaraderie between both sets of supporters. Like, I just shook hands with the lady sitting beside me and said, "May the best team win." She shook my hand whenever it was all over. So for me, I love PJ. I love Joyce. I love that Galway team that Sean Ogg was part of. I love how they carried themselves. I love how they play football. But for us, it was just such a massive opportunity that I'm delighted everybody's grasped. And like, the euphoria last night, the euphoria today, it's unbelievable. But I was there, Dad was coaching in 03, and I know what Sean was talking about. It's awake. It is absolutely awake. There's no, I don't even really ever actually get over it. I know I lost one All-Ireland club against Kilmacud, and we bet them a few years later, but I still feel that there's so much happening in that game where I knew I could have done better, or we could have done better, or whatever. So it is, it's so hard to take, and that's the sad reality of competitive sport at this level. But just absolutely delighted, thrilled for our boys. But do same thing, still you feel for Galway, because I just like and I admire that team, their coaches, and everything that they do.
Yeah, indeed. Listen, not many boys get the better use cross boys. You go back and get whoever did that. That's
right. Well, will I go and tell Benny Tierney now? Do you ever ask him about him or what?
Tell Benny we'll get him on the extended podcast. He can do some of his stand up routines. Listen, how could you not love Benny? What a character. I was watching him up for the match with Sean Oak there. It was great, the entertainment that Saturday night when the whole possibilities of the world was there. But listen, Aaron, I appreciate you coming on. I know you're going back in to join the celebration. So you rock on there, lad, and so we'll chat to you in a bit.
Well, the pint's just after landing outside the pub to me here now, to be, so that's me.
I could be up yet.
I'll talk to you soon. Cheers.
All right, kid. Thank you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Good luck.
Fair play to you, Aaron. Listen, fair play to him for coming on. And the more on yourself, Sean, I really appreciate it, because I know it's a difficult proposition. And as Aaron said there, they don't really care, Sean, because they've won the match. And I was just thinking, from your perspective, you know, we talked all year about Galway being patched up, and then you'd obviously the horrific Finnerty going off. Obviously, Comer just wasn't himself. Then you had the miss freeze from Walsh, and you're putting all that in the mix, and you still had the opportunity to equalise. Is that, Sean, would it be kind of easier in many ways if Galway or if Armagh had won the game by a few points and you thought, well, we weren't good enough? Like, with all those things thrown against you, there is some guts in this Galway team, because they just kept coming back, even though a lot of their main men weren't operating. You know, obviously Conroy, brilliant first half. Maybe, you know, he shut down a wee bit in the second half in terms of his play. I mean, Fitzgerald probably did fairly well at the back. Maher again, you know, he's such a soldier in there. But of course, Darcy's performance, I mean, someone's always going to step up. I mean, he was unbelievable on the day as well. And you know, if you take the kickouts as well, you know, the pressure was put on by Armagh and the way they were sucking. It's a very difficult opposition, that if the full 15 drilled over and back. So all those things against Galway, and it still comes down to McHugh's ball off the post, really.
Yeah, it's very, very thin margins. I agree with you. Like all the talk on we'll say Saturday, when, as you said yourself, it was the world was full of possibilities. All the talk from, I suppose, from our side of things, anyways, was the three lads, as in Sean Kelly, Shane Welch, and Damien Comer. Were they fit? Were they not fit? Right now, when we were playing 20 years ago, you know, the medical updates, you'd know what was wrong with the players. But now it's kind of, you know, there's an omerta in terms of medical. Nobody knows, right? So I still don't know whether those lads were fully fit or not. Maybe they were patched up, but certainly, and it's not, look at, I'm not criticising or anything like that, but, you know, Damien Comer, for example, he can, you know, he can be, I suppose, more effective than what he showed yesterday. That said, and you are right, it was, you know, I think Galway won, if memory serves me correctly, I think Galway won the throw-in, the first throw-in, and as soon as they did, boom, 15 Armagh players back, and you knew this is, you know, they're setting out their stall. We had to break that down. You know, we held possession for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then Paul Conroy gets his super score at the start of the first half. But it was, you know, it was kind of labored in a way. I mean, if, you know, to retain possession for 2 or 3 minutes, then to get your score, if you were relying on brilliant scores like that, you know, throughout the 70 minutes, you know, you could, you know, you were going to be in trouble. Whereas then straight away, Armagh went down the field. They were incisive, and they got an equaliser straight away. They just seemed to get their scores that bit easier. Yeah. And I'll reference, you know, Conlett Gilligan. You know, he was brought in, I think it was this year, as part of the Armagh management. But I read someplace that he's in charge of their transition, right? So, like, that was, like, they were very, very good at the transition. And even the very last play, you know, where Killian McDade was dispossessed out beside the Cusack stand. Like, when the final whistle went, you had three or four Armaghs, you know, powering up the field on the transition. This is in the 76th minute. So, you know, they were very well drilled, very difficult to break down. And like you said, you know, it was inches. I mean, Dylan McHugh's shot that hit the post, I felt if that went over, you know, what I think the Americans call it the big mo, we'd have had the big momentum then. We could have gone on to win it. But it, like, look at, I'll go back to what I said earlier. It was so difficult to break that down. I mean, we saw the difficulty that David Clifford had in the semi-final. I mean, apart from the first minute or two, you know, that Armagh defence was, you know, it was basically nearly impenetrable. So, you know, look at...
tell me, Sean, see around that defensive shape. When Galway locked it down second half, they looked at times like they could manage it. I know it's a hard thing to get your head around because you were trying to leave a couple of players up and keep both elements to the game, which is commendable. And I think the likes of Conroy's point, I think that's one of the ones where as a footballer, you always think fair play because I hate seeing the full 15, the lockdown. Now, do you think it's something that Galway could have played it? Because I thought our mad times were clinging on in the first half, maybe with a couple of points up. I think if Galway had been more rigid, which would have made it a more horrible game, don't get me wrong. I just mean from winning the match because it looked like at times they played it a bit shrewder. Obviously, you want to get into counter-attack. You want to break into the space. So Armagh were getting more joy at doing that than Galway. Now, Galway, it makes for a terrible game if they go and do it. But do you think, in hindsight, that might have been a better game to play? To play it really, really like mirror what Armagh was doing? Or is that not the Galway way?
Well, to be fair, I suppose in Galway's defence, no pun intended, they'd only conceded one goal, we'll say, up to the final yesterday, and that was kind of actually two Armagh, but that was from a poor kick-out in one of the group games. So I hear what you're saying, but it probably, you know, to change tact in an All-Ireland final, you know, at that, you know, kind of in terms of your defensive structure, that's probably a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah. Well, they did go locked down against Donegal in that closing 10. You know, they did really lock down their whole defence.
Yeah.
Like, see the goal thing, and I get that, but really, Donegal didn't concede any goals other except for a freakish Cork game, you know, and I don't think their defence... I don't think many teams are conceding many goals. It seems to be a very odd thing that happens. I think it's something that because teams are back in numbers, your chances of getting in for goals are very, very limited. So people are more trying to get in around the D, which is what everybody's trying to do. But I just felt that the way Armagh had set up, they're trying to suck Galway into that. And I think when Galway maybe... They were doing brilliant work coming off the shoulders and trying to open it up in that, and they were ready for what they were meeting. I just felt that... I think that they had the ability to do the opposite at the other end. Now, again, it gets into a real turgid affair there. But, just while your forward line maybe wasn't firing, maybe it's your defence that you really needed to go tight on, you know?
Yeah, and, well, look, I think... We did break them down, and on our own transition once or twice, we did have, we had outnumbered them. There was one particular one there in the second half, and I think Liam Silk was at the end of the move. I think it was a 4v3 or something like that, and he, instead of putting it over himself, he popped it back to Shane Welch, and it dropped short. But I think, look at... In terms of tactics, right, you know, I think we could discuss it, right? But I still think that the execution of some of our skills, you know, from probably guys that you'd expect to maybe do a bit better, probably let us down. You know, we had the chances to win the game. It's just fellas, I suppose, had off days, really.
Yeah. Tierney being one of them as well. Sean, you know, you probably were relying on the other guys aren't kicking. If he had a... You know, he has all the talent in the world, you know. Mackin, like, seemed to take him out of the game. He didn't seem to get into it the way his talent could have been, and that could have been another
one. I know,
one.
Like, it's... Like, an All-Ireland final, it's just... It's such a different game. I mean, I was standing outside that... You know, the Gill's pub there at the top of Jones's Road, right? When both buses pass by, and it's things, you know, it's little things like that you have to deal with, and like it's such a ruthless, you know, place to be. I mean, somebody asked me once, well, what's it like to play in Croke Park, right? So it can be the best place in the world, right, or it can be the worst place in the world. You know, it just, and like it's harsh that players are judged on just 70 minutes in an All-Ireland final, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I was at the homecoming this evening, and you know, you could see some of the faces of the players. Some of them may never get to Croke Park again, may never play in an All-Ireland final again, and you know, they have to live with the regrets that they have from yesterday, which is terrible. Mm. You know,
it's funny. Connolly, who I suppose was Armagh's man of the match, he had a quiet semi final. So Turbot, you know, me and Manon said, you know, it didn't happen for him. And as you said, that's what happens in finals. Like certain players, you know, Moore Moss a couple of years ago had the absolute game of his life, and I think he's been struggling ever since to come up that level. And of course, you'd have to see injuries and freeze and just.
I know, and the thing, look at the thing about Shane Walsh as well is like he's obviously superbly talented, right? But I suppose in my opinion, he gets an awful lot of stick, unfairly.
Yeah.
You know, even I suppose yesterday, okay, he missed a couple of frees, and you know it's. I suppose he's such a nice guy, like, you know, and he plays the game and he's easy.
And he has a nice dog. He has a nice dog as well.
Yeah.
See, people give him
something.
People give him a touch for that ad, and I was like, here, why not? He said, listen, he may as well. There's a couple of
questions. Would that be something you would have done?
You wouldn't trust me with a dog, eh? I'm enough bother with the wee ones, eh? I'll tell you. But no, listen, I see that, and I think somebody was sharing it to me, as you said, nearly a wee bit kind of mocking. I was like, sure, why wouldn't he? If there's a couple of quid going and you're selling a bit of dog food, whatever's going, John, give a short window. Listen, sir, I want to thank you so much, John, for joining us this evening. You've seen both sides of that. It was brilliant to get your words on it. And listen, you've been on the DL debate. No, we might get you on sometime in the future. Hey, we'll keep the lines of communication open.
Perfect, Brendan. Come here. Thanks very much.
You're a star man, Sean. Fair play to you. All-Ireland winner, all-star, everything. Played international rules along with him. Great fella. Hey, we'll be speaking to Sean some stage down the road again. The Galway men have to lick the woods and look for next year. After the break, we are going to speak with Gaelic Live's Michael McMahon. Yes, welcome back, folks. It is 22 minutes to 8. Is it, Joe? Joe's keeping me right here. Joe, you know I'm at the glasses stage. Hey, listen, and any mistake I make, I'm going to blame him. My eyesight. Now, a man that doesn't make mistakes, who has all the critical analysis of this All-Ireland final, and I'm interested to get his views on it. Of course, the season that was, it's Michael McMullen. Michael, you're welcome.
Cheers, Brendan. I was listening in there. It's hard not to be jealous of Aaron Kiernan right now. Yeah. He had a pint sitting waiting on him.
This was your Derry dream, Michael. This was supposed to happen for the Derry men this year. What happened here? Everything got torn up.
Oh, the story's all about the winners, Brendan. Yes. Armagh just showed both. Funny, I was talking to Jason Byrne yesterday in Croker, and I said to him, we're just like two people at the ball we weren't invited to, so we were both looking on, but... No, definitely very, very jealous of Aaron. But to be fair, the amount of, we've all talked about it, the amount of hard luck stories they've had, fair play to them. I know Sean Casey from our own Gaelic Live podcast, we were chatting this morning, and after the Ulster final, he called it his, it was like rehab for him, talking about it. And fast forward a few months and they're kings of the land, so... Fair play to them.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? As I was saying to the lads here, Michael, just about speaking to Kieran that time, and, you know, I guess I have a positive outlook on football, and I'm always looking at the glass, you know, half full scenario, and I was thinking to myself, you know, this team has all the ingredients now. As I was saying to the lads, you know, I'm just saying anything was possible, and we talked about that, you know, and it was funny. I was texting Kieran a couple of times, and hopefully he might come on next week for an Al Yarn. But, you know, even though that old Armagh team was our big issue, you know, this is a different, obviously, completely different world now. Kieran's in there. He's you can see the GA man. People were on about the hurt and going up to shake Jim's hand after us the final. He was like a broken man, but he'd put so much in it. This was 10 years in the making. They needed an Ulster Championship from now to go from the heartbreak, because that must have been in a horrific place to be after Ulster final, to be All-Ireland champions. You know, I was joking with Wooly that you can't win Ulster, but you can win All-Ireland now. It's a tougher competition once you get out of Ulster. Listen, it's just been an amazing turnaround. And has it, Mal, did the likes, obviously, of Kerry Dublin, in terms of where you think they were at, did they play their part in this season, maybe not being the formidable forces they were or we expected them to be?
I think it's probably a case of the Dublin juggernaut just isn't there anymore. Like, it was them, Kerry and Mayo, were the teams who were sort of nearly always there, and the rest of us were hoping for a chance to get a seat at the table. Kerry probably have a bit of soul searching to do this winter, I feel. You know, they're five All-Ireland minor titles, and David Clifford was their most top scoring sub this year in league and championship. They don't seem to have the depth, but I think this season was brilliant, Brenton, because it was wide open. When the four teams went to Croke Park for the semi-finals, all four believed they could win the Sam. And if all four were in the last four next year, it'd be exactly the same.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant for the game.
Has it cast a net? You know, I suppose Mayo people thinking we should have beat Galway in the Connacht final. You know, we're saying, well, should we beat Armagh as well? So is everybody looking in thinking, why not at this point? Is it, I mean, has, Michael, you know, that the greatest team ever, let's be honest, certainly in the modern era, that Dublin team, as you said, now have shown signs that there's going to be a change there. And Kerry seemed to, not know themselves or know what style they play, or, you know, just the energy that Armagh brought, there doesn't seem to be in them, the kind of love of it, you know, which drove Armagh on. So, yeah, you know, you're looking at maybe 6-7 teams next year. I'll think, listen, we have a reasonable chance.
That's it on the head. That's exactly it. You know yourself, and you're involved with unions this year. There's a start of the year meeting, and you put your cards on the table, and you have a chat, and you think, look, we can win the All-Ireland, we can win the championship, whatever. There will be 8 teams or so in that mix. Like, I just happened to jump on Paddy Power today. Like, Armagh are 5th favourites to win next year's All-Ireland. Yeah. Like, what a come down. Not that they'll care, but that just shows you how open it is, that as much as Dublin aren't the force they were, they're still going to be in the mix. Like, they're not going to go away.
Yeah.
So it's probably given a lot of hope to everybody. Like, Tyrone, with that under-20 title, we'll be thinking, if we get a couple of lads in, unfortunately, they've lost Michael Home to Australia, which is a major slap. You know, Donegal will be sitting thinking, like, that fine line, Brenton, of Kieran Thompson just touching the ball on the ground. Like imagine he had his elbow under it, like Rob Finnerty did, and it's not a free. You know, they could be in All-Ireland final. Like, they're bound to be sick. Like, those 8 teams are bound to be sitting today thinking, you know, we can do that next year. And that makes it exciting going forward, that, you know, and maybe a player who's thinking about not going back next year, I've had enough or whatever, thinking, look, I'm hanging in here. We can win, Sam. But the one thing I will say, Brenton, about it is, I was just watching Geezer addressing the crowd at the homecoming. There was a few videos on social media. And it's a wee bit the same with, I suppose, Jim going into Donegal. Like, Jim is so Donegal and Geezer so Armagh. True. You know, and they're completely invested in it. Like, they're just Armagh to the core. And that probably came out in their performance. Like, see, whenever they were 3 points up yesterday, you think, it's over. And they ended up in a slugfest for an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But they held on.
Yeah.
And I think that the narrative this winter will be, and it always is, like, the narrative in the winter is always, what did the champions do? The narrative this winter is, there was a group of 40 lads who couldn't win games, didn't lose games, couldn't win silverware, but they hung tough. And that's maybe what other teams are going to do now.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, Mal. You couldn't help but admire them and admire McGeaney, because you can tell from him, he has taken some abuse. And if your heart and soul with that, and that's why people talk about the Ulster final. Of course he's going to come up to Jim absolutely distraught. It's a penalty shootout again. They were dreaming of Ulster. They weren't mm-hmm. dreaming of the All-Ireland. And now here they are. I mean, it's an unbelievable story. And you, if you're into sport at all, you couldn't help but, you know, warmed it. And I haven't met them lads. And even that day in Derry, well, you know, all those Armagh boys that were walking over and past when I was there, all said hello, all had manners. I didn't think someone would know who the hell I was, you know. But they all come over and said hello. And, you know, they seemed like all top lads. You know, there was no, you know, the way in olden times would be a bit of stuff going on. But lads, you could see they were all 100% good lads who were just dedicating their life to it. Well, just yesterday around Galway, and I was saying it to the lads, you know, 25 attempts on goal, 13 points, you know. Armagh, obviously, they had 18 shots, you know, in terms of landing the blows, and obviously got the goal. I'm just thinking, well, the numbers, the percentages game, was it a thing Armagh are saying, right, we're going to give you X amount of shots, but X amount of difficult shots, and we're going to keep you to 5-6 points a half? Is that the markers for, you know, the likes of that game that Armagh play, which is difficult? Now, people say, people are saying you can't do that at Croke Park. They did do it. Is it a thing where the coaching level and the fitness has got to the level now where you used to be able to shut down Croke Park, but I think now teams are able to do that?
You sort of can. Like, they probably made a decision, look, if we can... Like, both teams didn't leak a lot of goals all year, so they probably made the decision, look, let's close the middle. And obviously, they maybe watched the Connacht final, Brenton, where Damien Comer was just such a focal point, but he had an acre to work with. They didn't give him that. And probably to sum up that point you make before I move on, Comer got the ball in the corner one time. Paddy Burns, Aaron McKay didn't give him an inch to breathe. Turnover, score. A big, you know, sort of turning point in the game. So they were prepared to push them out wide, and was it McDade and Conroy had a couple of real good long range scores.
Yeah.
And they probably were happy to do that. They maybe watched the Donegal game and saw that, you know, they maybe flipped the other side what Langan did, and they're probably thinking, look, if we can make Galway do that to themselves and not concede a goal, we're going to be okay. The only thing is, such a fine line. Like Dylan McHugh's shot goes over, we've extra time. But I do think they would have won after extra time, Brenton. I do think they would
Well, I think part of me was thinking it then, and then when I seen Armagh break a few times, I thought they're just sitting, the nerves of the final where they were has got them. Mm-hmm. I still think the energy was there, but you're right, the momentum was there, but I think it was a lot to do with them clinging on.
Finnerty was a big miss, Brenton.
Finnerty, huge.
We were chatting, one less man to worry about up there.
Yeah, yeah. And he would have guaranteed, like, you know, a bit like Donegal game, two frees, two from play or something. You were missing that. Then Walsh, you know, having goals with his left foot, which was a bit surprising. And, you know, see what you want about the tactics there, man. You know, well, the way Donegal played it this year with the likes of, you know, Mogan and McHugh, etc. You know, the Armagh scores, you know, like 8 scores and a lot of them coming from midfield and defence. Is that the way you're going? Are you going to see more forwards placed in defence now? And what you want, right, you're going to make a tackler out of your forward and then you want them to break and get the ball and play. You know, is the day of the defenders down to maybe one or two teams going to carry out and out defenders? Do you think that's the way sport's going?
I think it is. But at the same time, you see, if you are going to have your couple of defenders, you need really good ones.
Yeah.
Because there will come a time in the game. Sean Marty always uses this example for me. Actually, Geezer says it to Sean Marty. He says that was so good about the Dubs. The two or three men they had were really good man markers. They could do a job on their own, because there'll come a time when you have to go and you need to be able to say, look, a wee bit like Glenn did in the club final, Breton, where they sort of had to throw off the shackles, and Ryan Dugan stood beside Ben O'Carroll on his own and says, look, lads, I've got this man here, and then everybody else can play. So probably the pack defences sort of mask out poor defenders, but the top teams are still going to need you're still going to need your two or three good men, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And Mal, just was saying there, was it 2018 Tyrone in Dublin? You remember when they kind of got picked off? That's when everybody said, right, you can't do that at Croke Park. Like, we are back to that kind of stage. And then just on the opposite side, I suppose, in fairness to Armagh, they were trying to, as the lads were saying earlier, you know, transition, kick past the ball where they could, work the space for the mark, set up plays. You know, I was just thinking about Donaghy and his basketball knowledge. You know, that's the kind of thing that's kind of creeping over from that, in terms of that's bunch and break. Try and get a mark. It was fascinating to see it happening. Like, the way everybody was signaling was kind of funny, because they were all like, right, let's do it. But that would create, I mean, you're trying to create a bit of confusion in the opposition defence. There's no doubting that does that.
It definitely does. Like, you're probably talking about thinking back to the semi-final when Glenn Hughes was sort of holding the ball in the air, you know, as if to say, right, let's get this up. And it made a huge difference for them, so it did.
Yeah.
But you still need the finishers, and you still need the people who you're going to, you know, you still need the pace. You still need that. Like the Ross McMullen, like Stephen Campbell making that goal. You still need that, you know, no matter what way the game goes. And I think that's probably what suited Armagh in the long run, is just they had the men to come off the bench. And especially whenever maybe Galway already used Johnny Heaney. You know, so I still think you're going to need, you're just going to need the men that's going to break the line, just the way the game has gone. I think in an ideal world, you do want to play like Galway, and like Paddy Joyce wants to play that sort of direct ball, like what they did. I'm not sure what you're taking this one as, Brent, what they did to Donegal, where they kept Walsh, Finnerty and Comer up close, you know, and maybe that sort of unsettled Donegal as such.
Yeah.
That's my favourite way of watching it, but you need a mixture. You know, you need a mixture.
Well,
and probably as much as it's a great day for Armagh, you know, and the story always has to be about the winners because they take their chances. You know, Donegal didn't against Galway. Galway will kick themselves, Brent, the amount of chances they missed. Yeah, you know, there's a stage where there are four or five chances and they got 1 point out of it.
That's it. And you know, as you said, the momentum was with him. It took McDeer a while to get into it. He springs to life because it wasn't going to come like you had the constant miss freeze from Walsh. And no more than the hurling, Mal, last week, you know, the victors, their markings out of 10 are so higher versus the losers. But yet, a bit like the hurling, it comes down to a point game as well. Isn't it strange how we look at it? So you would say on that regard that Galway kind of, you know, really underperformed. And, of course, injuries played a part in that. But, you know, by the looks of it, a lot of Armagh players did their job or played well, you know, and then you had a load of Galway lads dropping their performance. And if it only comes down to a point, then, God, you would really feel, you know, that you've, you know, that, you know, the last thing you want to do is underperform. If you're beat by the better team, I think you can handle it, Mal. Is that the toughest thing for Galway now over the winter, is that you've made it all this way and then between... Of course, you have to take the injuries into context, but outside of that, like, a lot of the players didn't perform.
And it's a long way back, you know, with the fact that 2 years ago you didn't win the final and you're beat narrowly, sort of with Shane Walsh shooting the lights out. But from a glance at their average age, like Shane Walsh will turn 32, the majority of their team will be potentially there for a while. You know, it's whether you use the mindset of we're close. And if you want to use Kieran McGeaney's mantra, we're close, lads. Are you with me or not? Stick with me here. So they probably just have to do what Armagh did and just, you know, literally just get back on the horse. Like, I think they went for a few days jars around Oregon and licked their wounds and got back at it. And probably the big result they got was Hammer and Derry. So Galway, you're questioning Galway, probably just need to go away and think, look, how close are we? You know, the management will maybe sit down and think, look, are we staying on? Are we all staying on? Right, we're here, lads, and we're going to give it another push. We'll give you a break, and we'll maybe go at the league a bit more differently next year. Hopefully we'll not have as many injuries. But, you know, it's back to your point earlier on in the conversation. There's going to be 6, 7, 8 teams in the mix, and Galway will feel they're one of them, as will Derry, Tyrone, Donegal, you know, Kerry, Dublin, whatever. So it's every team will have the same mentality, I think.
Yeah. And well, just back to the Armagh lads and the knockbacks, you know, and speaking to Geezer a few weeks back there in Derry, if you look at it, trying to frame that, you know, and I was saying to the lads, you know, they would say, oh, Armagh are gone. Wally was saying, oh, they're gone. I said, well, sure, why would they go? There's a new competition now. They haven't won anything. Surely they're still hungry. Sure, they'd be hurt by it and they'd have to exercise a few demons, but why? What's left? And they came in the area that day and you could see they were ready to go again. But of course they were, because they're still desperate to win. So it would have been not as maybe a difficult job as everybody was saying in terms of their management to say, here, lads, nobody's actually beaten us in normal time. It's penalties. We're very, very close. Let's see where this takes us again. And you know, once they, I think, got to that stage where they topped the group in that, the Roscommon victory then, you know, you're thinking, hold on a second here. Then, of course, you know, your luck has to hang the Kerry game, the missed goal chances that could have been out of sight. And then you've seen maybe that bit of joy and that, I suppose, that weight on the shoulders seemed to come off Armagh, and then they were reveling in it. I think that's why they were so dangerous going into this match on Sunday. They got rid of the baggage, I think, after Roscommon and then definitely the Kerry game.
Aye, and even if you go back earlier, Brent, even the Galway group game, like, I know Conor Gleeson's must face kick out, give them a way back into the game, but like they sort of coughed up a soft enough free to go one down, but they still found a way to get back. And I know they didn't win that day in Sligo, but they didn't lose. And because they topped the group, maybe they left Sligo with the chest that wee bit further out that day and thought, you know what, that's a big result. And then obviously they beat Derry out the gate. So then all of a sudden they're starting to believe. And funny, Rian O'Neill did comment yesterday when they talked about turning points. You know, we highlighted the Roscommon game just in the fact that they won a game at Croke Park. And like Sean Oag was on our podcast last week, and him and Stevie McDonald. Stevie McDonald says their win over Dublin in 2002. Was a massive result because they'd never won a game in Croke Park. Sligo had drew with them in Croke Park. So maybe it's, as you say, it's 1, 2, 3 games in a row where there's progress, and the penultimate step was beating Kerry. And then gradually you think, you know what, why not 1-0 Ireland?
Why not 1-0 Ireland, Michael? That is a great way to finish the chat, Ty. I love it. Why not, Ty? And I'll tell you what, why not the Dairymen next year? I noticed you kept them quiet in the old All-Ireland conversations. You're cute, boy, you're cute.
Oh, well, they're in there, but the biggest problem at the minute is, and I might as well say this now, listening to a few pods going to Donegal games this year, you know, just driving around to the games, the whole Donegal narrative was, we were in a bad place last year.
Yeah.
They are now in that bad place now.
They'll turn it round, Mal, no doubt in it, dude. I'm out of time here. We will take up this conversation later, sir, no doubt.
Good luck. Mal, we'll be joining Ireland in and cross.
Yeah, we'll make a case for the day, man. Don't you worry about it. That's Michael McVall and Gaelic Life. Thanks so much for joining us this evening and rounding up that championship. I want to thank my guests earlier in the show, Joe Dex, for producing here at Sport Ash and Kelly. I'll speak to you all next week.